Hey, good people. It's your girl, Fredrika McClary Easley, back with another episode of Bum, 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 Bum. The people are blunt. Let me get some housekeeping out the way so that we can dig into this conversation that I am really excited about, and I'll let you know in a minute why. So first of all, we're on all the platforms, YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Prime. Like, subscribe, share, do all of the good things. To let us know you're out there. Also, the people are blunt. We are on IG. Really, really, really appreciate and love how you all are showing us love. You are tagging the reels, reposting the reels, commenting. I really appreciate it. It helps me to know that I'm doing the right thing, that we're bringing the right people to you. And it's just fun to engage. So let's keep that party going. And without further ado, I want to introduce Presto Doc himself, one of the founders, one of the co-founders of the Presto Doctor, Rob Tankson in the building. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
So look, first of all, I'm so excited. This is like a full circle moment for me because, oh my God, it's been about 3 years since I've been in the cannabis space. And one of the first events, it was a virtual conference. You were on the panel that I moderated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You remember that? I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. And so like, it's just full circle. I remember me being so green and I'm like trying to learn everything and trying to figure stuff out. And there were OGs like you who had been already in the space engaging for years. And so, but you were like, so helpful and so willing to share and so willing to like whatever I asked, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about that. And so I wanted to start out by saying thank you. I really, really appreciated just the hospitality that you brought for the space.
No problem. Thanks for thanks for being easy to work with and you know, for, you know, just your energy was something that really motivated me to help. So just thank you for that, bringing that energy to the space.
You know, I'm a cheerleader at heart. You know, I was a cheerleader. It's like the energy always comes through. Sometimes it could be a lot, but it's okay because it's mine and yes, I own it. And so that's what it is. So I appreciate you for just being welcoming. So let's get into it, because as I was doing my homework, so first of all, you started out as a psychology major. Mm-hmm. And then you wind up doing expense planning for different like tech companies and things of that nature. Then you wind up on Wall Street. We know you're an investor. We know you're a founder, like a serial entrepreneur. And so I'm just wondering, like, how does psychology bring you along this path? Like, how did this... What's going on here?
So I studied psychology in school, USF, University of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And when I finished, it was basically like the heart of the housing crisis and the recession. And so it was kind of one of those situations where you had to just figure something out. As my grandfather says, there's a storm. You got to find any port to go to in a storm. And that's kind of what I was dealing with when I graduated. So I think my first job initially was trying to sell packages to the Masters golf tournament in the middle of the recession. If you can imagine, like cold calling CEOs and you just getting cursed out. So that didn't last for too long.
Yeah. And then, I mean, but it built up the Teflon. It was like,
oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Like rejection all day. So like after that, I had tough skin.
That is hilarious. Okay. And so you went through that, just trying to figure it out. You know, I feel like the kids nowadays are kind of going through that, you know, with just the industry, the market, just workplaces in general being different, especially post-COVID, like everything being different. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's an important lesson about pivoting and just, you know, figuring it out where I'm gonna fit in, what I'm gonna do, how I'm gonna do it. So let's fast forward, because you go through that. I feel like psychology, just the studying of people and personalities and minds, definitely helped you navigate some of these spaces. 2015, we launch Presto Doctor. Mm-hmm. Go back in your mind to that time. Why? Like, why did you decide to take this initiative on? Why did you decide to do this?
We saw like a huge gap in the market. At the time, just really learning about how cannabis can be beneficial, like, you know, for so many different ailments. For me in particular, chronic pain and cancer, which I lost my grandmother to, my aunt. Unfortunately, she has cancer now. She's battling it. And it just really made me think, like, if people have this, you know, these type of conditions, like, and there are really no doctors, like, at the time, and there were few, don't get me wrong, but like as far as like overall, I didn't find a place that were like a lot of committed doctors to really knowing like how to treat these symptoms with cannabis, how to get people off of opiates and just really provide like medical value. And so that's kind of why we took a chance, because we saw that gap in the market. Like, everyone was able to get a weed card and doctors were just, you know, running script meals and charging whatever they wanted, but we didn't see that value. So that's what we stepped in.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I love about what you offer is the fact that your physicians actually offer like treatment plans. So it's not just, oh, we're going to get you this medical card, but it's how are we helping you to figure out what's best for you? Because whether it's a person who's brand new to cannabis or like an OG, it's different when you're getting something from your weed man versus when you're going into a dispensary. Yep. So my first question is, how did you and your partner find these physicians? Because as you pointed out, there were not a lot of doctors who were even, you know, making themselves knowledgeable about cannabis, about the endocannabinoid system. So how did y'all figure that part out?
Honestly, like, we thought that would be the hardest part, like, because we're not doctors ourselves, right? And we're like, how are we going to get doctors to work for us? And we don't have the experience. And it's kind of one of those, like the old baseball movie would say, I think it was called Field of Dreams, build it and they'll come. Yeah. And we got super blessed, like, in the fact that our early doctors were, you know, are now considered like cannabis all-stars. Yeah. We got Dr. Dave Nguyen, Dr. Jessica and Rachel Knox, yeah, and a few others. Like, and also I'll mention Dr. Hanya Barth. Those doctors really helped us, like, have a solid foundation and really launch with a lot of strength. So, like, shout out to all of them for sure.
Yeah. That really is the difference. Is being able to have that professional, like, assistance of navigating it. Because, I mean, I talk to people in my family, like, the first time going to a dispensary, they are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And there are people, like, some places you have amazing butt tenders, right? And so they really know the plant. They may have been dealing with their own personal ailments, and so they can kind of help you and guide you. But in a lot of places, you know, people are, they, especially in 2015, they were still learning. They were still figuring this out, like, just the whole regulated space in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So between then and now, right, like, you are almost 10 years in, right? Yeah. It probably feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
So what are some of, like, the things that stick out to you in terms of what you've learned and how different things are now versus when y'all first jumped off the porch with this?
It's been so much learning. Like, initially, like, we benefited from being the first player in the space. Like, we were the first ones to offer telemedicine for cannabis cards, which what that means is it allowed us to be on Google and to advertise on, you know, Facebook, everywhere that basically we're banned. We're not allowed to as cannabis companies. We were able to get that going for about 8 months, which gave us a really nice patient base. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side of that, once that kind of that patient traffic stopped flowing from those sources, we kind of had to really learn quickly how to, like, remarket, how to get patients. And so that was like in my opinion, like, the biggest hurdle and also one that we're most proud of, for sure.
Yeah. That's so funny because cannabis businesses go through that all the time, like plant touching, right? Like, IG will take you down, will block your post. And, like, people are literally devastated, right? Because you can have, like, I mean, I know people whose account had like a million followers type thing. Mm-hmm. And for something that was not a sale, was not, you know, anything that was said to be prohibited, but like now their account is gone. It's like, how do you get those people back? Like, how do you get that traction? So when you talk about y'all having to be creative and figure it out, like what's something that y'all did? You know, like what was one of the first things that you did?
Yeah, so first I'll touch on the fact that we were one of those companies to get our account banned. Like our symbol was at Presto Doctor. Now we're at Presto Doctor underscore official because Instagram decided to take our account down. So know that pain. You know, I've heard that if you contest it many times that they'll give it back. And I know people that have had success, unfortunately for us, you know, we didn't really have that luck. But as far as like what I say, things that I found that did work in addition to that, referral program was pretty big. Patients have a good experience, like they want to recommend their friends to you, and also yep. incentivizing them to, like, you know, like we give 20% of the appointment fee to the patients that refer patients to us, like, you know, just incentivize them in that way. But I think the biggest thing is like customer service, like putting customer service first, making that the priority, making sure people have a good experience. And that goes from the support staff when they first talk to us to the doctors, just, you know, picking out doctors, you know, being careful who we select to represent our platform as well is really important. But yeah. It's definitely been a lot of learning and the growth. Sure.
Yeah. There are actually like businesses or services now that people hire, who people hire to help get their accounts back. Like this is a big deal.
Yeah,
this is a big deal. First of all, IG needs to stop. Okay. Yeah. Like you taking down Presto Doc. Come on now.
Yeah. Like we're not touching the plant. It's, you know, we're giving medical advice. And just the fact that we have the word cannabis or marijuana on our website makes us demonized, right?
It's crazy. And it's so funny because before states really started regulating, like before things really started picking up, I mean, people were already talking about weed, cannabis, marijuana, like whatever you want to call it. Like people were already talking about that. It seems to me that they didn't start really like blocking or taking down until more states started to regulate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, this was already a discussion. Like if you go back through threads, this was already a thing. So, I mean, whatever. So I want to touch on, in 2017, y'all had like a major moment, right? Where you were able to, where are my notes? Here we go. So you weren't fully bought out. I think it was like 51%. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. So in 2017, about a little over 2 years after our launch, we were actively seeking fundraising. Like we were everywhere. We were every conference. We were literally all over looking for funding to really start to grow the company. At that point, we had proven concept. We were profitable in California. We were expanding to Nevada and having a lot of, you know, like really good success. And so we thought it'd be a good time to raise money. And that ended up being pretty difficult in itself. We had people, you know, handshake deals in Vegas, like nice, like, you know, nicest hotel room I've ever seen. So you just assume that, you know, it's going to be, yep. you know, done deal. And then you kind of face things like investors ghosting you and just kind of weird stuff like that. But after some letdown, we got pretty fortunate and blessed that a public company called Cannabis Sativa Incorporated, they ended up buying 51% of us. It was in the summer of 2017.
Yeah,
They bought it at a $9 million valuation, and it was like late July.
Yeah. First of all, shout out to y'all for that, of just staying the course, you know, and not devaluing yourselves and knowing that you had something, because we see so many predatory deals, mm-hmm. right? We see so many people being taken advantage of, because like you said, you get to that point where you're cash strapped, you don't have access to traditional banking and things of that nature, or you're ready to scale, you're trying to, you know, figure things out, and you do have those, like those handshakes where you think you have something, you know, you've had a number of conversations and they ghost you, or it just doesn't pan out. And I mean, like, that's taxing.
Oh yeah. It's so taxing. And, you know, at one point, just to be honest with you, maybe it was, I think we signed our deal in July of 2017. But if you go back to December of 2016, like when we, like I said, I think we were in Vegas, we had that handshake deal and that didn't pan out in November. And in December, like we had a serious conversation about potentially shutting down.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the company was profitable, but as founders, we weren't able to pay ourselves, like, you know, what we, you know, like our market rate. Yeah. And so, you know, that becomes taxing after a while. And so, yeah. You know, like, thankfully we were able to make it through. And, you know, it's insane to think about we were that close to giving up, and you never knew what was around the corner.
They say sometimes it's darkest before the light. You know what I mean? It's darkest before the light. I want you to touch on that, though, because for people who are interested in coming into this space, the fact that you, even though the company was profitable, but you and your co-founder were not able to pull a salary at the rate that y'all had been used to making outside of this. I want you to kind of, if you can, touch on some of the hard decisions or the sacrifices that you and your co-founder had to make in starting this company and, you know, getting it to the point where you could, you know, make that move.
Yeah, you know, like one thing I that I will say is, you know, like it does help like to have a supportive partner. You know, like, you know, it's difficult to navigate in general, but like a supportive partner definitely helps, you know, like navigate that, because you're so stressed. You come into your partner saying, hey, like, I'm not gonna make any money for a while. I'm gonna quit this job that's security and kind of follow my dreams. And so, you know, that's definitely something that helps. I mean, it's just one of those things where you have to have a vision and you have to really know what the vision is and really believe and know why you're doing it. And for us, it was like always like we want to expand access to patients and we want to be able to treat and heal so many people and people that don't know about this, people that don't understand cannabis can help their conditions, people that think this is illegal and they've never touched it, but now they can because it's becoming legal. It's just so many people that, you know, like even the folks that say like, you know, they medicate after work as opposed to a glass of wine. Like in some sense, it is therapeutic, no matter how you want to say it, it's medical or recreational. And we wanted to kind of be there for those patients and provide that easy access. And
yeah,
really like that thought that carried us a long way, because it was a lot of days where like some days it's like, you know, this is the greatest thing in the world. Then the next day it's like, why am I doing this? You know?
Yeah.
Really days. So
going back to that why. I mean, definitely of the mindset that all consumption is wellness. I think that there are so many, like, I know you're from Chicago, you went to school in San Francisco. These are areas that definitely have like populations that experience the war on drugs at a disparate rate. You know what I mean? And I don't think we talk enough about just the undiagnosed, like PTSD and anxiety and, you know, just what a lot of these areas where, you know, due to redlining and how the cities have been, like how the infrastructure is built out and what people have access to, like just the conditions that are also at disparate rates, like that find us, that find Black folk, that find people of color. And so to have something that can bring you to just an equal point, like we're not even talking about getting high, like we're just talking about like, I just need to be able to operate, you know, I need to not be on edge. It's so necessary.
Absolutely.
It's so necessary. So, okay, you are now in 14 states.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
14?
Yep.
Okay. That's a long way. Okay, from just Cali and Nevada, like when y'all had to deal. So as y'all are thinking about scaling, as you enter into new markets and make yourself available in new spaces, how does that look? Like, what's the criteria? What's the litmus? How do y'all decide what state you're going to next?
Yeah, so as far as like deciding a state, we have a matrix that the team has built out to really determine like what's going to be best. So like we kind of rank it on if there's a medical program, if there's an adult use program, the size of the market right now, the state population, and a few other variables. Like obviously if telemedicine is allowed in cannabis, because there's some states like Florida, they have a program, but you can't talk to a doctor online for the initial visit, but you can for the follow-up. So it's Florida. Yeah, it's always Florida, right?
It's always something going on with Florida.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's things like that. Even Colorado for the longest, you know, they didn't allow telemedicine. And it's because honestly, it was allowed initially. Then there were some bad actors that were in there just, you know, kind of messing up everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically our criteria that we kind of scored on.
Okay, so what's up with New Mexico? Like I had actually our COO hit me up. And she was like, oh, you're going to be talking to Presto Doc, huh? Mm-hmm. She was like, so ask them when they come into New Mexico. What's going on with New Mexico? New Mexico.
It's actually on our list of expansion. It's coming soon. We prioritized a few other markets before, but it's definitely on the list.
Melanie, you heard it from Rob. Rob said that they will be coming to New Mexico. And when they do, we will make sure, like, she's ready. She has Mary James Cafe down there. And so the cafe is really a hub of the community. She's a local, you know what I mean? She's all about Bulque. And so, you know, she's trying to bring the healing to the people. So, Melanie, you heard Rob. Y'all is coming.
Very soon. Just
be patient. Okay. So one of the other differences, right, like outside of this expanding and things of that nature is you've also become a father.
Yep, I'm a father. I became a father in February of 2020. So mm-hmm. I have a four-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah, we were not too far away. I gave birth in September of 2020.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to you as well. My first is a son as well. So how has that impacted we're from the DARE era, right? Like we grew up with the, you know, just say no, the cracked egg in the skillet. How has becoming a father, kind of impacted how you think about, how you plan to discuss, how you engage with the plant, and then also you as a professional?
Yeah, you know, great question. First thing I'll say on that is congrats on the baby, and also the baby in the pandemic, because as you know, that was rough. That was a little rough, wasn't it? That wasn't a normal experience.
Yo, listen, we had a home birth. Well, because you know I'm in Texas. So like Florida, Texas is very colorful with they extra shit. And it was like, oh, if you have a baby in the hospital, your husband is not going to be able to be in a room. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I know what the infant and maternal mortality rates are here for Black women. Y'all not getting me up in this room by myself where I'm vulnerable and I can't advocate for myself. And so, yeah, it was just like, no, we're going to have a home birth. I'm actually fighting with Blue Cross Blue Shield now to cover our second home birth because they are tripping. But I was just like, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So how did y'all navigate that? Because February is when everything shut down. So yeah. Did y'all make it right before?
Yeah, we made it right before. Like I think the week after a friend of mine had a baby, and they wouldn't let him in the room. So like we made like literally I think it was like a week before they started to get pretty strict in New York. You know, thankfully I was able to be there for the birth and you know just make sure everything was fine, because like you say, it's hard to make those decisions when you're like, you know, it's the most traumatic thing like a human body goes through. So yeah
it's literally a near-death experience. Like you're literally like on the brink when you are doing this, when you're giving birth. And so it's so barbaric to me to just even think that they would put families and women in that position. But anyway, so had the baby. Little man is just had a birthday not so long ago. Okay, so little man is four.
Yep.
And so how has that changed your perspective just in business, just in this industry, and what you know? Like how has that changed you?
Yeah, first I'd say just having a kid just made me more focused, just made me realize the like bigger purpose, you know, like I'm doing this for him now. It's not just about me and wanting to make him proud and wanting to grow something that, you know, potentially can be his one day. It started to have a different focus. And then as far as like, you know, my thought about the plant, right? Because the way I grew up, I mean, I remember getting my ass whooped from my mom when I smoked one time. The first time I smoked, I thought I came back and I didn't realize I smelled like it. And my mom went upside my head like a couple combos. I didn't even know she could do that. in front of my boy too, just knocked me out. And you know, now it's a different conversation. When I was entering the space to talk to my mom about it, the fact that she was so open to it, and then like, you know, now being a parent, thinking about how I'm going to introduce that to my kid, it's you know, something I haven't addressed it yet because he's so little.
But
it's something that, you know, I'm going to just kind of express, just similar to alcohol. This is something that's for adults, you know, right now. When he's older and you know, able to make those decisions, you know, we'll have that conversation. But I definitely don't want to hide it from him. And you know, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what that looks like. My cousin, for example, she has I think her son's like 8. And she used to, you know, explain to him and smoke to him. And he understood it to a point. But a funny story is he would always notice his mom smoking when she was like upset or stressed, right? So he went to school and his teacher, like one day, he saw his teacher going like this and like just super like stressed out. And he came up to, you know, like little kids are just the sweetest little angels, right? So he came up to the teacher, put his hand on her shoulder. He was like, Mrs. Whatever. He was like, "You look really upset. Don't worry. My mom has the smokes."
It'd be all kids. Like, first of all, that is mommy's business.
Yeah.
But second of all, how cute is it that he was trying to bring this teacher some relief? He's like, "Look, when mommy's stressed, this is what mommy does." Yeah. You know, and so I want this for you. I want this ease for you. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know what? I feel like that is all a part of normalizing the plant. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the more that we are open about it, like you said, the more we're not hiding it, the less of that, like the taboo, the less of the draw it has. Cause I remember growing up and it was like everything they told me not to do was what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Like the more that they were like, "Don't do this, don't do that," was the more I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna do that." Yeah. Like, I'm gonna do it as soon as I can.
Exactly.
So yeah, so I love that. I love that. So what's next for you?
So next, we're looking to expand into other markets. We're looking into international expansion, like Germany just legalized. You know, a few other places across the globe, but for now it's just gonna be continued expansion and looking at different opportunities. Like, you know, one of the things that kind of looked into was the psychedelic space.
Okay. I think
that would be a natural transition if we were to do something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, overall, I think there's a lot more growth in cannabis, like in general. Like,
I mean, there are definitely more states that you can get to. You know what I mean? Yeah. There are definitely more states that are opening up, and especially in the South. Like, I would say the South is definitely going to need you because one of the things that I loved about it and how you spoke about choosing the physicians, right, and making sure that they handle patients with care is, you know, when you think about getting a medical card, you have to have a primary care physician, right? And that means that, like, you actually have to have, you know, traditional health care, and you have to have the time to get off work to go visit that primary care physician. And then you have to have a primary care physician who actually listens to you, you know what I mean? And who actually like sees you and is not just trying to rotate you out or not applying all kind of stigmas to you, but actually is like listening and seeing you as you are sharing, you know, what you're going through and what you're experiencing. And just being honest, that is something that is difficult for people of color.
Absolutely.
For a number of reasons.
Absolutely. It's just starting with the stigma part you said, right? Like going to the doctor in general, a lot of doctors, don't look like us. Yeah. And just to be frank, and when we have those experiences, we're going to a doctor, like maybe you heard cannabis can help with your conditions, and you're like, damn, I gotta talk to this dude about it, like this old guy, you know, and it's like that that pain point there, right? And so utilizing a service like ours takes away that pain point, in addition to like, the obstacles that you mentioned and about the other pain point, is the doctors a lot of times aren't really knowledgeable about cannabis in general, right? Let's say they want to do it and they've heard this, but they're not too sure. And unfortunately, in most cases, it's seen as a secondary treatment. It's not really the first option when, one of our goals is to push cannabis to the point where it is going to be a first option.
Yeah.
Because right now it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I prefer that. My mother last year she was diagnosed with lung cancer. And initially it was, give her these opioids. And so we were able to, to supplement or actually to limit her opioid consumption with cannabis. And she wound up actually gaining weight during chemo. Like everybody was like, she gained like 30 pounds. Now Stan, okay, my mom is a very petite woman. And so she could stand to gain some weight, right? You know what I mean? But it was just the simple fact that like you're going through chemo and for you to have this kind of weight gain, her physician, her doctor was like floored by it. It was like, what are you doing? But that to me was just like a testament of it. Like, you don't have to allow your body to be wrecked like this.
Absolutely.
You know? So another thing I wanted to hit on real quick before we get out of here is as we're talking about patients and we're talking about 2015 to start and where things are now, do y'all track your patient demographics? Because I'm wondering like how that has changed in terms of medical cards and things of that nature.
Yeah, so we do track it. Kind of some stats that I'll give you. Patient wise, on the lower end, we like for the most part we see patients that are 18 and older, just for liability reasons. Mm-hmm. We have made a few exceptions when parents are present, but for the most part, 18 and older. Our oldest patient is a patient out of Oklahoma. They are 105 years old. So as far as like the overall demographic, like I would say there's really no face to a cannabis user, no age to a cannabis user. It's such a wide range, and like everyone has an endocannabinoid system. So everyone can benefit from some type of cannabis in their body. But as far as like hitting to the hard stats of like what we see the most of, patients between 25 to 35, that's changed a bit with legality. Cause in California, in the past you can get a card at 18 and that allows you to get into dispensaries. So we used to see a lot more people that were, 18 when we first started in California, and now like it's kind of leveled up 25 to 35. It's about 60% women, 40% men.
Because we need it. Shout out to the Canna moms.
As far as our biggest state right now, Oklahoma, we get the most patients from.
Okay.
It's pretty busy in other states as well.
Whoever that 105-year-old patient is, first of all, my goodness, God bless them to even reach that mark. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm thinking about the timeline of Black Wall Street. And I'm like, were they one of the people who were like, they were there.
Yeah,
they experienced that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they definitely need a joint.
Or two.
Listen, they like baby. I mean, you live beyond a certain point and it's like, whatever you want to do, you should just be able to do it. It's just like,
no restrictions.
No restrictions. Like, I want to eat what I want to eat. I'm a drink. I'm gonna do whatever I want to do because look, I have earned this right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I have earned this right. Rob, before we get you out of here, first of all, I want to say thank you again. What do you want to leave the people with? What do you want them to know about you, about the work that you are so intrinsically motivated to do? I'll leave it open. Whatever you want the people to know.
Yeah. Again, I'll say thank you so much for having me, for allowing me to talk about our company and the value that we've been able to provide to. I think up to this point we have 500,000 patients, and it's been such a crazy journey and such a blessing. It's allowed me to understand my purpose on this earth, and it's really to heal the masses and to heal a lot of our people and help people navigate their health issues and just heal and become better versions of themselves. And so I really value the platform and the opportunity to be able to express that.
Yeah. Awesome. I appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you're doing, the healing that you're bringing. Good people. I know with medical cards, there are still some restrictions in terms of employment and in terms of, being able to be a licensed gun holder. Like, we're still dealing with those things. But if those things are not of a concern to you, then I would implore you to educate yourself on your system, on your endocannabinoid system, and check out Presto Doc. See if it's in a state where you are. I believe that having a licensed professional who is aware and knowledgeable of that cannabinoid system, the endocannabinoid system, to guide you through the process and to help you figure out your healing regimen is worth it. It's worth it. And so, Rob, thank you so much for what you do and for not giving up in December of 2016, for staying the course. We appreciate you. And with that, y'all, stay blunt.